We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
People, look alive! It's showtime!
Now live from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios, it's Chuck and Winkler on The Fan.
So shut up and listen.
Doors open in 3, 2, 1.
Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler, that is Chuck Freeman. Got some football tonight, little Rams Seahawks, couple of NL playoff matchups. I mean, is your interest gone now completely that the Brewers are out?
In the playoffs? No.
No, I mean in life, Chuck.
Oh, well, in life it was for a couple of hours on Tuesday night. A little bit. Yeah. Yeah, my interest in the Brewers for next year, on hold for a second. To see what for a while here, I want to see what they're going to do.
I'm talking about baseball today. Are you watching baseball today?
Yeah, I'll probably put it on at 4 o'clock today. Yeah, I'll probably watch it tonight's game. Probably not. I'll probably watch the NFL game. That's a good matchup tonight.
Is it going to sting when you see the Washington Nationals where the Brewers could be in LA? I don't think this one will sting. Usually, like when our teams lose, I all out root against them. But with Washington, whatever, have your run. I don't care.
They're not going to beat the Dodgers. I think the Dodgers can win that series. But no, not like, you know, watching Toronto face Golden State. That had a little sting on that one.
I'm still mad about it.
Well, I didn't want to give up on life at that point, but I was disappointed.
I kind of have since.
Sounds like it. Looks like it.
Today's first day I wore real jeans and.
You haven't taken a shower in a while.
2 weeks. I did not shower this morning.
Yeah.
How do you wash hats? I've worn the same hat for 12 months.
Well, I have a white hat that I need to be washing. Because white hats, I don't know why they make white hats, but they look good until the first few times you wear them, and then they get dirty. But then how do you wash them?
I don't know.
Put them in a washing machine.
And they're ruined.
Yeah, they're ruined after a few times.
You get a hat dry cleaned?
You buy a white hat. You take it to the... I don't know. Probably just wear out their usefulness, and then you get a new one.
Pope's hat is never dirty. The Pope. He must just keep getting a new hat.
Well, he probably's got a rotation of hats.
Yeah, like a closet full of hats.
I think it's one of those. That's what I do. Like the visors, I rotate the visors. So not one gets stale. So I got like 5 or 6 of them.
The one you're wearing right now, how long have you had that?
Well, this is like at the bottom of the barrel. Because like, I didn't have any other visors in my car.
Visibly dirty, Chuck.
Yeah, this is... just like your hat, they wear out after a while.
My hat's not dirty on the outside, but on the inside, I got that sweat.
Well, mine's dirty because from golfing and being out there in the dirt and the elements. So,
Radio Joe's just stormed into the studio thinking he could come on the air whenever he wants.
Breaking news?
I literally washed my hats last night.
How?
Yeah, how?
So what I do is you get like one of those like bags. It's like you can put hats in there or gloves or earmuffs or whatever. It's just a small little zip-up bag, and then you put it in there, you throw it in the machine, you set it to delicate, and then...
That's the most funny I've ever heard you.
Yeah.
You need to bring some of this to Bill this afternoon.
Yeah, where's his personality tend to?
There's a lot of other stuff that I do during Bill's show. I don't just sit there and... Turn his mic on and off. I think that's what people think I do on that show.
No, I like this comedy, though. I want to hear more of this on Bill's show.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so, yeah, you set it to delicate, and then...
Where is this?
You let it run.
Did somebody put something in your cappuccino this morning, or what?
And then, after that, you're good to go. Just take it out of the little bag, you let it air dry, and you're good to go. My hats are good as new.
Oh, wow. All right.
I didn't hear any of that message. I was just enjoying you.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad I could bring entertainment. Morning shows are supposed to be entertaining.
Wow. Learned something. That's two things.
I'll see you guys later.
Oh, right. Okay. See ya.
Joe, welcome anytime. Bringing that personality.
Lori Butler at 1 o'clock today on the Bill Michaels Show.
All right, good.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay. Hey, thank you.
Glad that happened.
Hope that helps.
Well, if you know how to wash hats, Horvath, you have all the airtime you want.
Everybody knows you wash it in the dishwasher.
Well, really? Why don't you tell us that? You can tell us that.
I was getting coffee. Oh. Yeah, you wash it in the dishwasher. My wife does it all the time.
Okay. Like with the forks and everything else?
Well, no, you're going to put it in there separate. You're probably not going to want ramen noodles. Yeah. You guys probably don't have to eat ramen noodles making your kind of morning salary you guys get around here.
Right.
You, Harvey. Radio Joe, all traveling in style while your boy here makes all his earnings off gambling.
You see my car? My car is getting stuck on 41 these days.
You're a classic case of, though, I'm going to drive this car so people don't think I have it like this, so then they don't ask me for things. You know, like Mel Gibson's probably rolling around in a 1973 Toyota himself.
Why do you think I get a haircut every 6 months?
You see, we have one of our one of the sales guys. He was outside of our building the other day with another guy, and they were like, it looked like they were playing with a remote control.
Mm-hmm.
I go, what the hell are you guys doing? I mean, because I was walking back into the building. What the hell are you guys doing? He is playing with a remote control, but the remote control was his car. He was driving his own car with no driver. He backed it out from a spot, pulled it around, and it came up and picked them up.
That
and
sounds dangerous.
Yeah, well, he was doing it.
You better practice a few times before you do that.
It was amazing. And I thought of this one thing that a former boss that we both had once was kind of saying. If you're in sales, don't you ever buy a new car.
Mm-hmm.
Because then the boss will look around and say, well, that guy's making too much of my money.
He said that.
Yeah, I know. That guy's making too much of my money. He gone.
He did this.
New commission plan on Friday.
In Fond du Lac.
Yep.
He walked in one day and he goes, God, there's too many nice cars in our parking lot. I'm either overpaying some of these guys or something's going wrong here.
Yeah, and then you get fired or a new commission plan.
Yeah, they tell me I was making too much money. And I'm like, okay.
We got guys in our parking lot playing remote controls with 3-ton vehicles.
Yeah.
If I'm the boss walking in here, I'm thinking, well, we got something to talk about.
So drive a crappy car.
Drive a crappy car into the ground.
Go on the radio and talk about how poor you are.
Yes.
Don't say that you're going on lavish trips. Never talk about that.
No. I'm going to a lazy river for a week. I'm going to Camp Ochacoochee, Camp Albajibi. What was that thing Wicked always did? Okachi tie-up?
Yeah, the Okachi tie-up. Don't say you're going to the Okachi tie-up.
Go to the Okachi tie-up.
When you say you're going west for a trip, say you're going to Watertown.
Yeah, that'll be the way to do it. Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I know people love sports and stuff. Should we get back to the sports part of that? You want to talk about the Brewers?
Well, I think what we're going to address here is the window closing? Is there more to come to the Milwaukee Brewers? I'm fearful it's closing and that there's not more to come and that we're going to go back to...
Oh, yeah. Did you ever pay off that tease we did 2 hours ago?
Which was...
You said, I'm fearful, and I'll tell you why coming up.
Well, no, because you kind of took the show about you and kind of ruined what I was going to do.
That's true.
Like many times others. So this is where I think that the window is going to close. I think that I'm fearful it's going to close. I was telling you I was fearful like way back, 6:30 or so. I am fearful that the window is closing and that our opportunity of playoff caliber baseball is ending. And I think we saw signs of it until they woke up in September. But I think maybe we're headed down that road because there's so many unknowns about this team, Bart, that I don't know if right now I can say that they're going to go direct to the playoffs next year.
So just be and you guys can chime in, 414-799-1250. You can reach us on Twitter, Facebook at 105.7 FM, The Fan. So it's a personnel problem? Is it the way that Craig manages? I mean, when you look at the team, you just think that they're not going to be able to field a team as good as last year?
No, I don't have any problem with Craig managing. It's the unknown of who's playing third base, who's playing shortstop, who's playing first. Is Hero going to prove defensively at second? Okay. And how's the pitching going to adjust to him? Yelich coming back from the knee? Okay. I'm good with him. How's Kane going to be next year? Another year older for Ryan Braun. Who's catching? How's Hader going to be next year? Who's going to be a setup guy? Who's going to be next to Woodruff? Is he going to go longer than 4 innings in the starts next year? I mean, look at all these question marks, and we haven't even begun the offseason yet.
But we had that many question marks, and somehow they still won 89 games.
Well, no, because we had Grandal here, and they had Moustakas here, and Thames was here. Is Thames now there's an option for $7.5 million for next year with Thames.
Yeah, give it to him.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Give it to him.
So give it to him. But no, the question marks we have during the season, because those guys were set. Now that we go into the offseason, what's next for all those guys?
You going to give Chase his $8.5 million option?
Sure.
No, what?
Chase?
$8.5 million?
Absolutely.
Chase Anderson?
Chase, yes.
Of the Milwaukee Brewers.
You're going to let him go?
Yes.
Chase?
Yes.
Why?
Not good.
I'm not talking about getting him $15 million for a one-year $8.5 million. I'd give Chase, yes. I'd give him the $8.5 million.
It might be a two-year option they have to pick up. $8.5 million and then $9.5 million. It's either that or...
Well, depending. A two-year, maybe not so much, but an eight-year, for one more year, I'd take it for another year.
No, I'd put that $8 million towards Gerrit Cole and then come up with another $20
million. You're not getting Gerrit Cole.
If you don't pay Chase the 8.5 and you don't pay Grandal, that's $20 million right there. That's $30 million right there.
Okay.
Go get Cole.
But then you're going to get weaker at the catcher spot.
Well, you're going to get way better at the pitcher spot.
Yeah, once every 5 days.
Chuck, 8.5 is a lot for Chase Anderson. Am I wrong on that?
Think so?
Yes.
I thought he gave him some nice starts this year. Now, the start he had in was it Colorado or St. Louis when they got their ass kicked on a Friday night. There's both two Friday nights. And I can't remember the one he started. He was not very good. But I'd take Chase. Chase had the fastball humming toward the end of the season. I'd take Chase for $8.5 million. I'm not telling you that guy is Cy Young, but for $8.5 million, I would buy in on that. There's going to be teams that take him.
I would pass on that one.
In favor of?
Bringing him back way cheaper.
If you could. You know, if you could. Jordan Lyles, another one. What's he going to get based on what he pitched when he was here? Is he going to get a nice offer from somebody?
Lyles ain't getting any more than $5 million.
I don't know. All it takes is one guy to overpay for somebody. You know, I wouldn't go all on him. Now, I don't look at him. I mean, the second part of the season, he was a top half of the rotation guy. He was a guy you could count on. But, you know, what's the shelf life? Is he going to go back to being bad again next year? Is this going to be like a Ron Robinson thing? When the Brewers went in on Ron Robinson for having one good year and they were regretting that contract?
He looks like me.
Ron Robinson? Yeah. He absolutely does. Yeah.
I have one of his top trading
You have a
cards.
Longer beard, you definitely would pass for brothers or your son.
We'll talk to Mike Clemens around 9:35 about the Packers and Devontae and this whole situation. Coming up, we're going to have special guest in studio, a member from my favorite Brewer team of all time.
And one of mine too, actually.
The 92 Brewers.
Yes. Yeah, I like it. I was all in on that team.
I love that team.
The year Robin hit his 3,000th hit. Phil won Manager of the Year. Oh, yeah, a lot of good things that year.
Lestash, Rookie of the Year?
Lestash, Rookie of the Year. Yeah, yeah, kind of came from nowhere to win Rookie of the Year.
So we will have a member from the 92 Brewers in...
I'll put it a little more closer to your mouth.
Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler, that's Chuck Freeman. We often talk, we'll talk to Mike Clemens here in a couple of minutes about the Packers, Devontae Adams, what's going on there. When we talk about the history of the Brewers, we try to figure out our favorite teams. And so since, 38 out of the 50 that have ever existed are losing teams,
we
eliminate all those quick.
That might be even generous.
We like some of the current teams. You obviously are fond of the 82 team that got to the World Series.
Yeah, but you know what? That 82, I was more fond of the teams that did not get to the World Series, more so than the 82 team, Bart.
One of the teams that I loved growing up, not to age anybody here, but I loved the 92 team. I was a big Brewer fan growing up. I was crazy about collecting cards. I absolutely loved the 92 team. They won 92 games. Didn't get to the playoffs because the thing was a little more restricted then.
There was no wild card. There was two divisions in each league.
Hated the Blue Jays because of that. And then Molitor goes there.
Oh, the offseason of 92.
I know you love him, but I've never forgiven
December of 92.
Paul for that.
I hated it.
Doug Henry was a member of one of those teams, and he joins us in studio for a few minutes. He'll be on Faith in the Zone this Sunday, 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. here on the fan, faithinthezone.com. Hey, thanks for a couple minutes.
No problem.
How you doing?
I'm alive and kicking.
Well, that's good. I love that 92 team.
Yeah, closer on the 92 team.
I tell you what, that was a fun bunch of guys. It really was. And, I mean, the veterans that were there, I mean, with Robin Yount, I mean, it was a blast. I had so much fun then.
I thought you guys were going to go to the playoffs. And maybe under today's format, you would have. And you guys were chasing the Blue Jays and just couldn't catch them that year.
you know, that was unbelievable. Coming down to the end of the season, I think we were two games back going into Oakland.
Yeah.
And we needed a chance to play the Blue Jays because we owned them
that year. You beat them like 25-1 in one of those games in September. Remember that?
I think we had, what was it, one game we had like 30-something hits.
And, yeah, in Toronto.
Yeah, and they were all singles.
Yeah.
We didn't have one extra base hit, I don't think.
It was awesome.
it was fun.
Yeah.
There's been a nice, you had a few other stops. Was it the Mets, Giants, a couple other teams after the Brewers?
Yeah, left here, got traded to the Mets, then I went to the Giants, then to the Astros, then back to the Giants, and then I finished up in Kansas City.
And you're still in baseball now?
Still double-A coach with Kansas City. Spent a few years in the big leagues with the championship team in Kansas City, so I was the bullpen coach there. And they keep paying me to come back, so I show up.
Are we talking to the future manager of the Royals here? I know there's an opening.
Let's not get carried away. I want no part of that job.
Well, you know, Doug, you were closer, and I think we always talk about the shelf life of a closer, and Josh Hader got blown up the other day, and I think the feeling is, too, you know, what is the shelf life going to be for him and many other closers that have gone through the Brewers, and there's a certain amount of time that they have. Why is the shelf life so small sometimes, and you don't know what's going to end for a closer?
Well, it's different in today's game. I mean, back in my day, it was just one inning, and you don't have to worry about it. So the shelf life was a little longer. Mm-hmm. I mean, these guys now are coming out there throwing two plus. Mm-hmm. The hitters get to see them more, you know, and they get out there, and the more they get seen, the tougher it is to get the guys out every day. And with a guy like Hader, he's out there throwing 95 to 100 miles an hour. He's not locating his ball, you know, like a starter should. Mm-hmm. You know? At the end of the game, you just come in there and just rear back and throw it. And if you're not throwing strikes, they get to time you a little easier, and it ends up catching up to you.
I think it's interesting, too, the way that Hader specifically struggled this year. He would not allow a lot of base runners, but when he did, it was like a home run. So now you've got a closer out there with – when he makes a mistake, he makes a mistake. Some of these other guys, you know, put a couple guys on and then
– I know that feeling.
They can get out of it. You do. What advice would you have for Hader? I mean, what can he do – To get out of this sort of, I don't know if it's a slump he's in.
You know, I don't watch during the season, so I'm not really not on it, but I relate it to the pitchers that I'm dealing with in A-ball. If they're not locating and they're falling behind 2-1, 3-1, 2-0, whatever, and then they have to come over the plate, the hitters have time to change and adjust to their fastball. And it doesn't matter how hard you throw in today's game. Guys can hit 100 miles an hour. So you better be able to locate your fastball early in the count to put the hitter in a defensive mode rather than in an offensive mode.
So what happens in a game like the other night? Hader struggling out there, and people were calling Bart and I on the show and say, why didn't they get Hader out of there? Why didn't they get Lyles in there or somebody else when Hader was struggling? And my answer to that was managers will like to let a closer, if he's going to get into a mess, get out of his own mess. Is that true?
Yes and no. There's times when a pitcher, you can tell he has nothing. You can see he's got no chance. But with Hader, that stuff's electric. I'm sorry, but I'm sticking with him because if he finds it, it's over. I mean, they're not going to touch him. So you got to give that guy a chance to get out of it.
Talking with Doug Henry in studio, was a member of the 92 Brewers that we love, a Brewer from 91 through 94. Yeah, that was a great team back then. You know, for as much as we celebrate the 82 team, we do a little more for the 92.
I'm all on board on that, man.
I'd be fine with that as well. In studio for a few minutes, he will be on Faith in the Zone this weekend, which you can hear 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. right here on 105.7 FM, The Fan. Also, head to faithinthezone.com. I think you mentioned it about, like, back when I was playing and the differences between, you know, being a closer then and being a closer now. Is baseball just a completely different game from 25 years ago?
Yes.
It seems like it keeps trying to change, and sometimes I don't know if it's changing for the right reasons. More home runs than ever.
Well, I think they're trying to make it more exciting. They're trying to make, you know, the pitching kind of took over for a couple years, and now let's try to make it a little more exciting. I have no doubt that these balls are juiced. I don't think anybody can deny it. If you try to, I think the numbers are going to tell you otherwise, which gets us to the other side of it. It's all about numbers. The game has gone to the analytics, and it's kind of trying to take the human element out of the game. And to me, that's the great thing about baseball is it's not all about the numbers. It's about how do you deal with a guy, okay, like Hader right now. I wish the season was going to go on so he could step out there today and bounce right back. You know, but the numbers in a game today, they're dictating this guy should pitch this, this guy should pitch that.
Right.
But you don't know how he feels that day. You don't know what's gone on in his life that day. There's so much going on that you just don't know.
Go ahead.
Well, that's why I think that baseball is losing that feel to it, like the gut feeling thing. Like, I guess I'm on team don't bunt because it gives up, an out. But I think that sometimes when you watch a game, and again, I'm watching these games on TV, I'm not in. Sometimes you're watching a game and maybe it's 1-0 and you finally scratch a guy on in the seventh inning and there's no outs and I don't want to bunt, but bunt here. This is different. There's a gut feeling that tells me to bunt, or there's a gut feeling that tells me to take this pitcher out. But I feel like they always check with the numbers first. Craig Counsell had said something too this year where it took me off guard. Maybe he didn't mean to say it, but he was talking about Adrian Hauser, who was pitching very well in May out of relief before they moved him into the starting role. And he said, Adrian Hauser's been very good. Adrian Hauser's going out there and doing well for us. The numbers tell us he's doing good. Well, why do you have to? You know he's doing good. Mm-hmm. It seems like they still got to double check with the numbers. So I do think that we're getting a little too more into the. Just don't lose that feeling.
From old school, I mean, and I'm definitely old school. I prefer old school, but the numbers don't lie. But you also have to take into consideration what's going on behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. Is this guy's arm feeling great today? He's thrown 2 or 3 days in a row. How's he going to be today? You don't know that. And the numbers, people that throw all these numbers together, they don't take that into consideration. It's just, what have you done? And that's, to me, that's wrong.
When a pitching coach is, when a pitcher is laboring out there, you as a pitching coach, what do you say to a pitcher? Let's say, Hader, in a case like the other night, if there was going to be a mound visit, which there wasn't, what do you say to him if things are, he's not locating his ball, got a broken bat single up the middle, you hit a pitcher or you hit a batter? What do you say to him at that point?
See, to me, I go out to the mound in those situations, and I got to take his mind off of what's happened. It's like, okay, you see that blonde up there in the fourth row? Something stupid like that.
Do you really?
Anything to just take his mind off of, what negative has happened.
Okay.
And then try to get a chuckle out of him. And then, let's get back. Let's focus on the glove. Let's just see the glove, hit the glove. Don't try to do anything extra. Just keep it simple and go get him.
Is that, your philosophy, do other guys do that? Other pitching coaches do that too? Or they just there and?
Some do. Others, I really haven't talked to too many about it, but that's me. That's what I do.
How about guys you've had for pitching coaches?
It's funny when they come out there and try to tell you how to do something. It's like, wait a minute, now it gets negative.
Uh-huh.
And bottom line is there's not a whole lot you can tell a guy when he's out there. He knows what he needs to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's a matter of, you just need to find a way to relax him and let him do what he needs to do.
I mean, you never go out. I mean, sometimes you see conversations are really short. I mean, you wonder if it's the pitcher or manager going out there and saying, just throw strikes, or get the ball over the plate, or what's going on.
Hey, your wife's hot. Hey, that chick over there wants your number.
I think I've gone out to the mound one time and yelled at a guy because he had a chance for a win. I think we were up by 2 runs in the fifth inning, and he's out there. All of a sudden, he's got 2 outs, and he starts throwing breaking balls and changeup. The kid throws 95 miles an hour,
mm-hmm.
and this is back in A ball. And I finally went out to the mound, and I'm like, okay, timeout. You just put 2 guys on, walking them, and you threw 6 straight off-speed pitches. I looked at him and the catcher. I said, I don't know which one of you two idiots is calling this game, but figure it out. And, I was very loud and very boisterous, and I turned around and walked away. The next pitch, he threw 95 miles an hour, and the kid had no chance of getting around on it. And the ball came, and it hit me in the hand.
Oh, man.
And it broke my finger. I'm sitting there, and I just kind of grabbed my hand, and I'm holding it, and everybody's staring at me, and I'm like, let's go. Throw the next pitch. Yeah. And I look down at my hand, and sure enough, I got a broken finger.
Well, Doug, you played a few years here in the early 90s. What was your favorite memory of playing with the Brewers? Doug Henry talking with us.
Playing with the Brewers. Holy cow. My first day in Oakland, this is going to sound funny, but I grew up in California, and I always wanted to play in Oakland County Stadium.
Okay.
And walking out as a big leaguer, I can walk out onto the field in my street clothes. I walked out. I got to the field about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. There's nobody out there. And I walked on the field with my street clothes on, walked out to the mound, and stood there and just kind of did a turnaround on the mound in Oakland County Stadium. And that was, in my mind, one of the vivid memories I have of being with the Brewers. But also coming here and my first outing, I think I came on the mound, and I don't even know what happened. I had a 1-2-3 inning, and after the game, I still remember I think it was Hardercourt came up and asked me, he says, hey, you realize that's the first 1-2-3 inning a reliever's had in like 2 months? So there were so many. I mean, just being there in that old stadium, it was a blast. I mean, I had a lot of fun. I just remember Plesac sitting out in the bullpen. He had trotters, horse racing. And he would sit out there and pretend like he was riding a trotter out there just
that
in the middle of the game.
Like him based yeah. on
he
yeah.
was he was goofy.
You kind of took TV. Over for him as because he was the closer. He was like an all-star closer, and then he lost it. Then you were like the next closer.
Yeah, they were trying to find somebody when I came up, and they gave me a chance in, I think it was in August, and then I had fun the rest of the time, for the next couple of years.
Doug Henry, he'll be on Faith in the Zone this weekend, 8 a.m., 8 p.m., 105.7 FM, The Fan. So no interest in the Royals job. You said you don't want
to. Managerial job, no chance.
Why not?
Because you got to deal with you guys too much.
Yeah. That's the best part about it, man.
Yeah, we know everything. We're smarter than everyone that's played it because we talk about it, right?
That's it.
That's not true?
Yeah, no, it is true. We do because we do this 4 hours a day, man.
Yeah, so we know everything.
And go home and do some more of it. Now, you play at the Brewers, but you live around here.
Yeah, live out in Heartland.
So what made you stay around after your playing days here?
Well, I'm gone all the time. So and when February comes around, I go to spring training, and I don't come home until at the end of September. Well, my family doesn't need to be uprooted every year. So my kids went to Arrowhead and they love it. Now my grandkids are all here and I'm pretty much, I'm a transplanted Wisconsinite here.
For the winter months.
I'm
doing the opposite.
Yeah, no, I always grew up, I wanted to live on a lake and I'm out on Lake Nagawicka, but I tell people I live on a hockey pond.
Yeah, that's more likely.
Yeah.
Doug, appreciate it. Again, Faith in the Zone this weekend. Great to talk to you, man.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks for a couple minutes. We'll talk more on the Packers. Will Devontae Adams go this weekend, and what do they do without him? Mike Clemens coming up next.
One of the big tests for us is we've only had one road game, and we're going to have to do a great job of handling the environment there because there's a lot of distractions, and it gets pretty loud in that stadium as well. So our guys will be pumping the crowd noise nice and loud today and to help prepare for that moment on Sunday.
It's Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That again, Chuck Freeman, Ryan Horvath here as well, 414-799-1250. Why don't you go ahead and put that number in your phone and call us whenever you're bored, Rick and Oshkosh style. Mike Clemens joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. That was Matt LaFleur talking about the traveling they'll be doing to Dallas this week. 3-0, the Packers are in that building against the Cowboys. 4-0 overall, if you count Super Bowl 45. Good morning, Clem.
Hey, Clemmy. Clem.
I got a white hat, by the way.
Yeah, how do you wash it?
You know what? I've never worn it. Do you know why? It's got this really nice maritime logo on it. It's from Super Bowl 32 out in San Diego.
Oh, really?
You should probably throw that away, Mike.
Not like you go walking around the streets of Milwaukee.
Mike, they lost that one.
It's like a white.
So throw it away. It's in my closet all the time.
Yeah, but a nice white cap. Sometimes you don't want to wear them because they look so nice unworn.
Mm-hmm.
And if you wear them a couple of times, I got my 31 cap with a colorful one.
Just a couple of guys talking hats on a Thursday.
Exactly. How about this victory coming up that the Packers are going to get in Dallas? I think they're going to win this one by 2 touchdowns.
I thought one of the best things that Aaron Rodgers did in a horrible year last year where his coach got fired when it came to leadership was it's mid-December, and they had not won a game on the road yet, which is one of the reasons that Mike McCarthy got fired. You know, they got blown out like 24-0 in halftime in Detroit, and they didn't even look like they were ready. Then they played well against 3 tough teams, against the Rams, the Patriots, and the Seahawks, at least till about the third quarter. They lost all those games. So now it's like December, and they still hadn't won a game on the road. McCarthy had been fired after the Cardinals game, and he said, we need this win against the Jets for one reason, because guys like Marquez Valdez-Scantling or Jair Alexander, they don't know what it's like to win on the road yet. They don't know what that feeling is like to come home on the long plane ride to say we got something. And you kind of needed to change the psychology. So, Sam Darnold and the Jets gave them a good game, and remember it went into overtime, and the Packers got the win. So, of course, just a tremendous upset over the Bears in week one down in Chicago, a short trip. But I asked Aaron yesterday, so when you come off of that experience from last year, how big would to win this one on the road against the Cowboys be?
Yeah, I mean, I think anytime you go on the road, you realize how special the opportunity is. But when I think about that stadium over the years, we've had a great green and gold presence. It's been fun to hear the the cheers as you leave the field after a win. There, we travel really well all over the country, but it's been especially fun the last couple times we played down there to hear our crowd, and that's one thing you love when you're on the road, and obviously the post-game celebration after a road win is always better, and the plane ride's better, and the food tastes better, and we got our first road win in week one, and hopefully we can go down there and get another one.
Our reporter Mike Clemens joining us, Mike Clemens NFL on Twitter. I'm glad you brought this up, because Chuck and I have a sports radio show, and really all that sports radio is us saying things, and then when we're right about something, going back to revisit how we were right about that. And I remember I wanted Rodgers to play in that Jets game because I thought there were intangible things it could do. And then everybody was so focused on, well, your draft pick's going to be two spots worse in every round. And everybody looked so small term. But you're right, Mike. It gave some of these guys the opportunity to know what it's like to win on the road. Now, did this mean that's why they won in Chicago? No. But you also can't rule out what it did impact. So, thank you, Mike.
Rodgers called that whole game. I think Philbin just let him go. He looked like he was having so much fun. The next time I can get Aaron off to the side a little bit, I want to talk about that Jets game, because that was a fun game to watch. The Jets were given a hell of a
game. I'm going to go watch it when I get home.
And they you know, all three phases had to learn how to win a damn football game. I mean, they needed that win. The next week, of course, they got blown out by the Lions because Rodgers went down with a concussion. And as Tremont Williams told me, everybody quit. I have no idea why. That was a scary thing, too, to go from a nice win like that against, you know, a competitive Jets team in that day to just laying down for Matt Patricia and the Lions at home at Lambeau Field. A little scary about what you're going to get in this season. But, of course, new coach, new roster, guys like Za'Darius coming in, and you pulled out that win against the Bears, the Vikings, the Broncos, and now you get beat up. They're pretty beat up, physically beat up, after taking on the Eagles last week.
Jimmy Graham, he seems like he's got a few injuries going on. Saw some flashes of him catching some nice balls at times this year, other times not so much.
Tried to be Odell Beckham last week.
Yeah, making the one-hand catch in the back of the end zone. What about his future with the Packers?
I'm trying to be objective about this, Chuck, because of the fact that, we can't talk to the guy. He just doesn't make himself available. Nobody makes a big deal out of it. Rob Demosky wrote a kind of a scathing piece yesterday for ESPN where he just said, come on, after four games now, year two, new offensive system, I mean, Jimmy Graham is way overpaid for what you're getting for production.
So Jimmy won't talk to the media, so the media writes a hit piece on
it? No. I think Jimmy, Rob.
To tell the story, and we're trying to ask the guy, because when he does talk, it's great, and he's usually pretty blunt and pretty upfront about it. And I don't know what his deal is, with shutting off the media, but.
Oh, he hates Rob.
Yeah. But the point is so yesterday Rodgers took these questions and he's said that Jimmy Graham was one of his best friends to get through last year, him and Mercedes Lewis. The guy's a pro, he said, we got to get him. He was asked point blank, how do you get Jimmy Graham going? Because he's not going. And he said, we got to do the same thing like we did to Devontae last Thursday night against the Eagles. We got to get it to him sooner and more often, and get him into the swing of the game so that he can get hot and get into a rhythm. And that's his take. Even though the guy's, 32 years old and had all these years in the NFL, they got to get him the ball more. So Rodgers is defending why the guy is still there. But when you look at the numbers, it doesn't make any sense.
All right, we're looking at if Davante Adams is going to play or not. What do you have the latest on that? And then what the Packers are missing, we talked to Ryan Wood about an hour ago, and we will again tomorrow at 8:20. Is that they're missing kind of a slot-type guy like a Randall Cobb. So, obviously, the Packers can't turn to him. He's a Cowboy now.
Well, Devontae was at practice and trying to sort of jog. I don't know how he comes back if, in fact, it's a turf toe week one. I don't see how that happens. So that means, they're going to have to line up with Marquez Valdez-Scantling, Geronimo Allison. You saw Darius Shepherd out there, the rookie. Playing some slot last week. I think Kumerow's. I spoke briefly to Kumerow. He agreed to talk to me today. We'll We'll try and get that for your show tomorrow morning. I think you can count on it. But Kumerow looked like a pretty happy guy. Like he'd just come from the first install meeting, and, you know, he's going to get some snaps. And they also got Alan Lazard, you know, who's a taller guy that, you know, basically beat out a couple of other guys for the wide receiver position. But, yeah, Randall Cobb, he's now with the Cowboys. And Aaron Rodgers says, yeah, I'll probably be throwing some passes to him during the warm-ups like he did to Jordy when they in Oakland in a preseason game last year. But I had a chance to talk to Jason Garrett, the head coach. You know, Cole Beasley signs for big money. He's 3 years old. He's got 24 catches. Randall's got 14 for the Cowboys. He's also punt returning as well. He's got one touchdown. I asked Jason Garrett, why was Randall Cobb a fit for you guys and not Green Bay?
We just felt like he was such a good player. Every time we went against him, it seemed like he was making really important, impactful plays in the game, and that's what you saw on tape. And, you know, his reputation as a guy is off the charts, and just being a professional and someone who'll, you know, embrace any role on your team. So, you know, we were excited with the opportunity to bring him here, and he's done a fantastic job so far.
The special teams have given up a couple of long returns, and I know you were kind of gloating about the Menega. Yeah, Menega last week. But, I mean, what's going on with the long returns against these guys?
I don't know. The minute I talk the guy up, you know, they get embarrassed. And, you know, and against the Broncos when that Deontay Spencer had one for 60 yards, and we talked to Menega, the special teams coordinator. He says, yeah, he says they had a return we had not seen before. We had one guy make a mistake. They're also missing Tony Brown, the defensive back. He's one of their key special teams guys. He's been out a couple weeks now with a hamstring. He's usually the first guy down there, and I think he's leading the squad on tackles on that. So that hurts. But then when Miles Sanders, you know, gets you for 66 yards last Thursday night, and so I went up to Mason Crosby about, hey, man, what's going on with your kickoff coverage?
You know, we just got to continue to work on it, see, you know, guys be in the right position and go down there and play. I love what Sean's doing with you know, trying to find that right mesh with guys, you know, in their different positions. And then, you know, special teams always is a tough beast because of injuries, because of, you know, that next guy up. If a guy, you know, gets hurt on offense or defense, the special teams kind of gets hit first. And we need to do better. I need to kick the ball better. And, you know, we need to go down there and make tackles and just not give them good field position.
I always think it's funny when kickers talk about stuff, because what do? They're basically just watching the game like we are.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, Crosby, one of the reasons I think that he kept his job, too, is that he's involved in all kinds of stuff for special teams and guys that line up, and, you know, he's in all those meetings. He understands what the coverage is.
So he's like the Ed Cedar of the Packers.
But, you know, by the way, you know, it's like every time he doesn't kick a touchback, they've had some pretty big returns on him. So if Crosby can, you know, put it in the back of the end zone, that would eliminate the problem.
Mike, appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week. I know you're on the big show, I believe, later today around 5:30. We'll talk soon, Mike.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, and I'll try and have a live report for you first thing Monday morning from Dallas, okay, because we're heading out to tomorrow night.
Oh, okay.
Awesome.
Oh, yeah, you and Joe, right?
Yep. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have fun. Bye, Mike.
There's a joke in there somewhere. I'm trying to figure out where the joke is.
Mike doesn't seem too excited for his trip.
Well, he chuckled at the end.
Well, we'll see. Dave, if he's going with the radio Joe that came in here at 9 o'clock.
Joe came here at 9 o'clock. We saw a different Joe.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Did Joe, I don't know what happened to him before our show today.
But Joe was fired
Joe
up.
Joe was in a good mood.
Personality.
Today's the day.
Humor.
Yeah, he was smiling.
Wow.
Saw him in the hallway. Gave me a, hey, Freebs. Wow.
Joe. Hey, we're going to have Leroy Butler on Monday, as we always do. He'll be on with the Bill Michaels Show today at 1. Leroy's got a event coming up to benefit Racine Cops and Kids during the game on Sunday. It's at the Main Hub. You can check out more at mainhubbar.com. The Main Hub, 1300 North Main Street in Racine. There's a fundraiser. There's a 14-foot outdoor viewing screen. There's silent auction. It's a $10 donation. You get two drinks with that. There's things you can bid on, a 50-50 raffle to benefit the cops and kids. Main Hub in Racine is where, if you're in that area, watch the Packer game with Leroy on Sunday.
I think that is the site where my grandparents owned a restaurant in that address right there. Back in the day.
1300 North Main.
I think so, yeah.
Your grandparents owned?
Yeah, a restaurant right in that area.
Randomly brought up a number.
It was called Heckles, yes.
Wow.
Managed, ran, yes. back way.
May I ask what happened to it?
Well,
how come you don't do the family business?
Grandparents passed away back in mid-70s.
So what happened to the bar?
I think they sold it or whatever. I don't know. It was 9 years old.
They got to pass it down. Charlie Hustle could be running a bar.
I don't want any part of that.
It's Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins. Everything we missed, including
Charlie Hustle.
I
like it.
It was a huge sports day yesterday, and everyone around here just ignores it. More on that next. Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That's Chuck Freeman, Ryan Horvath. Yeah, these guys, they're nice to be with, and you're very accomplished young men, okay? But do you have your own breakfast? No, I do. The Bart's Baby Oh Baby Breakfast. It's available at Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries all throughout the greater Milwaukee area. For the next month, you go into Perkins and you order the Bart's Baby Oh Baby Breakfast. Now, they wanted to celebrate the fact that I actually procreated somehow. So they said we have a baby breakfast. Make sure it's a lot of food, though. Oh, it's a lot of food. Two eggs, smoked sausage, two bacon strips, two sausage links. So that's two sausage products. Mm-hmm. Then you get your choice of hash browns or breakfast potatoes. And then your choice of three pancakes, the mammoth muffin, or toast. All for just $8.59. The three of us boys will go and enjoy that at some point relatively soon. You guys can enjoy it starting today. As soon as today at Perkins. Last night was a big sports day that we completely glossed over.
Stone yanks it down to the right side. Pacioretty, center, score! It's Cody Glass! Pacioretty finds Cody. It's his first in the National Hockey League. 3-1 Golden Knights.
I was texting with Horvath yesterday, and he says, I like the Capitals tonight. And I said, the NHL's starting? Apparently the NHL's starting.
Yeah, well, they played like I felt like 5 weeks of practice games.
Well, they were all on TV too.
Yeah, they were.
So it's like, when does this start?
Is this real or is this real or is this practice
games? There was a Rockets game on TV the other night against the Shanghai Sharks.
Monday night, yeah.
The Warriors and Lakers are on TNT Saturday night.
Jeez.
For a preseason game.
Toronto and Ottawa, you know, people were looking for something like that last night. They had the overhit. Definitely.
Yeah, my Capitals, they ended up pulling that one out. They were plus 175, I believe, to open up the day, and they won 3-2. They were down 2-0. They won that one in overtime. Actually, hit me with some here. Let me give an update. From the Masters East, WSSP Sports Update Studio, I'm Ryan Horvath. We got the Maple Leafs. They beat the Senators 5-3 last night. Capitals over the Blues 3-2. Oilers over the Canucks 3-2. And the Golden Knights win in a rout 4-1 over the Sharks.
The most NHL we've ever covered here on the show.
Ross DUI Coaches Pub and Grill, South 13th. Also, check out their location on Lake Danube.
Cheer for the deer, the green and gold, all that fun poop. Yeah, but hockey is back. Nobody cares, though. Last year, it was the NHL Stanley Cup, and I read a hockey score in an update, and Frames is like, Horvath, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah.
We don't care about hockey.
Well, Stanley Cup.
So Stanley Cup, not regular season.
Yeah, no regular season.
No, no.
I left that out of the update.
You know, you can do that.
What about the conference finals? Can that be an update?
Sure, conference finals. Yeah, conference finals.
What about Nashville? A lot of people around here care about Nashville.
They do? Why?
Parent club of the Admirals. Mm.
So do I give the Admirals scores anymore or no?
Absolutely.
Okay, good.
They haven't moved, have they?
No, they haven't played
yet.
No. Yeah,
they haven't moved. Right, good. Physically.
No. Yeah, every time the Admirals play, give their score the next day. Yeah.
Admirals win 3-1. Harry Zolnicek with 2 goals.
There we go.
Do you have to get out of here, by the way?
Me?
Yeah, you got to get over to cover Admirals Media Day.
Oh, that's today.
Yeah.
Oh, I got to get over there. Right.
Hustle.
I should make that my role here at the station since I currently have none. Hockey guy.
Jesus.
Hockey guy. The hockey insider. I'll go on the Bill Michaels show, on the Big Show, and then on our own show. I'll get 20 minutes.
Is there anybody publicly more disgruntled in radio than Horvath?
You know what? I feel like Horvath's one of those guys that you can give him the world and still be unhappy.
He was. I thought he was going to be happy being our producer and all that.
Like if he
I've never seen a more miserable person.
He could be like, he could take over for Bill's show, okay, and be like, oh, yeah. So what? I got a show 10-2. So what? I got 15 affiliates. Oh, that guy over there's got 30.
Why is my show in Iowa and Illinois?
Yeah. I would actually just,
why not CBS?
No, one show would actually suffice for me.
Put together a tape and give it to the boss.
Yeah.
Put together a tape. I hosted for 3 weeks when you were dead. I don't need no more tape. This ain't 1976. Tape. What are you talking, VHS?
MP3.
We now go to our hockey insider, Ryan Horvath, brought to you by Portillo's.
Just get a sponsor to I mean, if you brought $50 in on the weekend, you'd have an hour.
Two to four. Saturday's Harvey.
Yeah.
2 to 4.
Yeah. Harvey Nation, you call it.
I got like $3,000 on the line from 2 to 4 for college football season.
We're back tomorrow. We'll preview Dallas. We'll talk to the voice of the Cowboys, Brad Sham at 9. Bill Michaels next.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.